Whether life's journey is full of triumphs and victories, riddled with struggles and disappointments, or maybe a little bit of both, it's been our experience that God's compassions never fail, and His faithfulness is new every morning.
Welcome to Hole in the Roof Chronicles with Paul and Jamie Hamilton. Join us as we transparently share stories of God's faithfulness in our lives to be an encouragement to yours. Welcome to Hole in the Roof Chronicles. My name is Paul. Her name is Jamie.
And we're back for another week. We took last week off. Paul and I decided that we needed some rest and relaxation, so we packed up our little 19-foot trailer and headed off to the lake for the week.
Yeah, unfortunately, the weather didn't cooperate with us very well. Here in the Midwest, we are stuck in a rainy pattern. And so we left on Sunday in the rain.
Yes, we did.
Set up the camper.
In the rain.
Sat in the camper that Sunday evening.
In the rain.
Woke up Monday, things were okay. Tuesday was okay, but it was just kind of cloudy and icky.
And then Wednesday was okay. And then Thursday morning, we were going to pack things up. And what happened? We were awakened at about 7 a.m. by a
thunderstorm.
So we had to pack everything up and come home in the rain.
Yes.
So it's been a crazy weather pattern here. And actually this afternoon, we're expecting
major storms.
Major severe weather. So pray for us, because I don't think anybody around here anymore wants any more hail. We don't want any more tornadoes. We don't want any more wind damage. I think we're looking forward just to some more quiet weather.
Yeah.
So we've been praying that happens quite quickly. So.
Well, and I know the end of May is typically graduation time for high school seniors.
It is.
School's winding up. Kids are graduating. So I'm sure there's been a lot of graduations that have hoped that it wasn't raining when it was starting.
Especially if they're outside.
Yes. So I know that, Jamie, you just finished up doing diplomas for our local homeschool group.
I do. I've been doing that for many years. They've been super gracious and just asking me to do their diplomas for them. I did them when our kids were graduating from homeschool, and it just got to be something that I did, and I guess I do a good job at it, I hope and pray I do. And so, yes, I just finished up 36 diplomas for the homeschool group.
Yeah.
And I think it just got us thinking a little bit about our homeschooling career with our children, because we homeschooled for many, many, many years.
It was 22 years total from first child to last child.
Yeah. So I thought, you know, when we were talking and praying a little bit about, well, what should we do for the podcast? And we thought, you know what? Let's explore our homeschooling career, kind of how we got started, how we finished, how things went for all of those years. And I thought, what a great opportunity to kind of share what happened in our life, the journey we went through. Why would crazy people do such a thing? And maybe it would help people who maybe are on the fence. Their kids are finishing up the school year this year, and they're thinking, I'm wondering if we can do better with our kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll say right off the bat from the very beginning that, and I know Paul would definitely chime in with me, that not everybody is called to homeschool. And
oh,
I think
absolutely.
That there's a great harm that we do to parents when we make them feel guilty because they're not homeschooling their kids.
Yeah. There's multiple different ways for your kids to good education, good Christian learning, and so on. Some of them are homeschooling. Some of them are private schools, Christian schools. Some people send their kids to public school. And there's nothing wrong with any of those things as long as you as a parent are involved.
Right. Yeah, you can send your kid to a Christian school and not be involved, and they will walk away without what you wanted them to have, because so much of their time is spent at home too. And if you're not teaching them the ways of the Lord at home,
yeah,
it doesn't matter what school you send them to.
Well, I like the quote you read to me the other day. We got to talking about it, and we usually like to try to find something to start off the podcast with. You found this quote, and I really liked it. No one really knows who said this.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually debate about it, but this is what it says. I homeschool because I have seen the village, and I don't want it raising my kids.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And that fits what happened to us, which we'll get into in a little bit. But yeah, that's exactly, when I saw that quote, I went, wow, that is exactly where we were in our life.
Very true. And probably once you hear our story, I'm sure there are people that once you hear it, you'll go, geez, you pulled your kid out of school over that. But it's the same principle as of today, which is, if you're dealing with a school district or teachers or so on that are trying to teach your kids against what you're raising your kids to believe, yeah, it is your responsibility as a parent to step in. If they're going to public school, you need to be going to school board meetings and saying, I don't appreciate this being taught.
Right.
If you're homeschooling, it's your responsibility. You are the person who's in charge. You know, really, the responsibility of how your children are raised, God puts that on the parent's shoulders.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
So as we get started here and we kind of start off, I always like having this little discussion with Jamie. In the very beginning, before we started homeschooling our children, tell me your thoughts about people you knew who homeschooled.
I thought they were wacko. pretty much. I have to be honest with you, what started this whole thing, and you know, I thought they were wacko, but it's always interesting how God is working behind the scenes.
Yes.
He's working behind the scenes. We don't see how he's working, but he's working behind the scenes. And we were members of a local church, and they had set up a woman's retreat. They like to call them advances. And I liked that terminology, yeah, because we're really not supposed to be retreating in the Lord. We're supposed to be advancing in the Lord. And I always loved when they worded it that way. But anyway, I didn't really know that many people. We had just started attending there. This was like the first women's advance that I'd been to. So I was just put into a room with some other women that I did not know.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of makes you a little nervous. You don't, yeah, know these people, but you know, I was wanting to get involved and meet people. So I was put in this room. Well, little did I know, the Lord had me in a room with three women who homeschooled.
Yeah.
And they all knew each other. I was kind of the odd girl out. I didn't know any of them. At the time, our oldest child was attending kindergarten.
Yes.
In the St. Louis City Public Schools.
Mm-hmm.
She loved her teacher. We loved her teacher. Her teacher, yeah, was just adorable. She was a sweet girl, young girl, very accessible, made school fun for our daughter. But I was in this room with these ladies. And of course, I didn't know that they were homeschoolers. I had no clue.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they very much befriended me right away. They allowed me to be a part of their group. And we get to talking, and they start talking about how they're homeschooling their kids and how it's going and everything. And I have to be honest with you, I looked at them and I thought, oh, wow, what a bunch of crackpots. Like, why? And I think eventually I even looked at them one night and I was just like, why would you all do something like,
yeah,
that? I mean, isn't the goal to, okay, I'm staying home with my kids till they go to school, and then boy howdy, they're out of this house and the school can deal with them. You know, that might be wrong. I was thinking that, but I think a lot of women feel that way. They're like, they're ready to get them off to school so they can have a life, you know?
True. And at the time, you know, yes, our oldest was in kindergarten, but we also had two boys.
Right.
That were very young at the time.
Yeah.
I mean, like under two.
Yeah. So I just thought, I don't know. They were nice women, but I thought they were a little crazy and weird. Mm-hmm. Like, I really did. I just thought they were weird people.
So I remember, to kind of bring this into our story, our homeschool journey began in 1990.
Mm-hmm.
I know that sounds like billions of years ago in a galaxy far, far away. But like I said, our oldest daughter was going to St. Louis Public Schools. She was now in first grade in 1990. And I remember it was around October, you know, very early in the school year. It had started in September.
Yeah.
And I remember her just having nightmares. I mean, night after night after night, was just having these horrible nightmares, waking up, crying, calling it for us, having to go in, you know, what's wrong, honey, you know, comforting her. And she was always like, you know, this witch is trying to get me. This witch is chasing me.
Which was super weird for us to hear, because that was really nothing that we really...
No.
We didn't really talk about stuff like that in our home.
No.
We just, that was just not a part of our life. So for her to be that upset over something like that, I thought, what is going on? Like, it was just really weird.
It's not like we had witches up in the windows around, you know, Halloween time or anything like that. We just didn't.
Yeah.
And I will never forget, she brought home this folder, and I remember you showing it to me.
I opened the folder up. It was like a portfolio of different things she had been doing during the fall of that school year, of her first grade school year. And I opened it up to look at how what she was doing. And when I opened it up, there was a piece of paper that kind of had a place where you could draw things.
Mm-hmm.
And then underneath it was like tablet paper attached to it, where the kids had to write out certain things about, I guess, about the picture that they drew.
Yeah.
And on the writing section where she was practicing printing and things like that, it said, in the best writing she could write at first grade, it said, "Old bony legs like to eat children."
Yeah.
And you should have seen my mouth drop to the floor. And I looked up at the picture. And of course, there's this picture that a first grader drew.
Yeah.
That... you probably wouldn't have known that's what she was drawing, except that you could read what she, you could read, you know, what she wrote. And she had to draw a picture, I guess, of a witch eating children. It was crazy. Like, I, like, my mouth dropped to the floor, and immediately I knew, I made the connection between that and the months that we had of her having nightmares.
Yeah. I remember talking to her, you know, sitting her down. She came home from school. You know, we picked her up, and I got home from work that night. And you had shown me to. So we sat down and we talked to her. Well, I mean, she just started talking about it. She's like, "Oh yeah, that's a story that they've been reading.
The teacher read."
Yeah, and had read it multiple times to them. So it was kind of like the book of the month for October. And she's telling us this story about this witch who has metal teeth and chases kids and tries to eat them. And her house is on chicken legs and all this stuff. And we're just sitting there going, what in the world? I'm a fan of the old horror movies. I grew up on, you know, Frankenstein, the Wolfman, Abbott and Costello, all that kind of stuff. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that type of entertainment, but it has to be age appropriate.
Yeah.
You know, you don't take a 6-year old and tell them stories about some witch that's going to chase them and eat them.
Yeah.
And I remember just being very upset. So Jamie and I talked about it, and we made the decision, you know what, we're just going to go in and talk to the teacher. Now, that was our only plan. Let's go in, let's talk, let's voice our displeasure. But we had no intentions of being like, okay, well, we're pulling you out of school.
Right.
You know?
So we left home that day. We drove our daughter to school, and Paul and I walked in. We had the paperwork that she had sent home to us, and the woman was in the classroom, and I very nicely and politely walked up to her, and I just said, "Listen," I introduced who we were, and I just said, "We'd like to just chat with you a little bit about this paperwork that came home and some concerns we have." And when I tell you that that woman got as ugly could be, basically made it very clear that we were not going to impose our values on her classroom. Well, I became like a mother bear.
Yeah.
Because this is my daughter.
Yeah.
And I love my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked right at her and I finally said, "Well, ma'am, I'm going to be really honest with you. You're not imposing your values on my daughter."
Yep.
I said, we're done here. We're done. I looked over at Paul and I said, lift up her desk. Because it was one of those ones where you like stored stuff underneath your, you know,
the desktop.
I said, lift up that desk. And I said, pull anything out that belongs to her. I said, she's not staying in this classroom.
Yeah.
And Paul started just unloading all this stuff, you know, and.
Well, the teacher got really upset. She's like, you can't do this. You know, what are you doing?
And I said, well, yes, I can. This is my daughter.
Yeah.
And I'm responsible for her. And I don't like what's being done here.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the teacher left and she went and got the principal
mm-hmm.
because she was like, you know, she just kept looking at it saying, you can't just pull your daughter out of here. And so she went and got the principal. The principal came in. He was very nice. He's like, you know, why don't you bring Heather and her stuff? Come to our office. Let's sit down and talk. So when we got in there and just started telling him, I mean, he mentioned that he did not like the book, but he had no power that the Board of Education.
It was the school board that had the power. And he said, this is not appropriate, I believe, for first grade class. And I understand the concerns that you both have about this.
Well, we made the decision to pull her out. I mean, we told them because we had to give them a name of a school. So our church had a school. So we just said, well, we're going to be sending her there because that was kind of our thought at that time. Well, as we began looking into it, yes, we could have afforded to send Heather, our daughter. But to be honest with you, we did have two kids. And the thought was, well, if I send her there, I'm going to need to send them there. And can we really afford three kids in a private school?
Right.
And I remember you having a conversation with one of the ladies who was that you met at the advance. And you just said, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Correct. We don't know what we're going to do. I explained the whole story of what happened. And she looked at me and she said, listen, I'll be honest with you. She says, homeschooling may not be for you, but she says, this is what I'd like to do. She says, I've got a math curriculum.
Yeah.
And I have a language arts reading curriculum for first graders.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be happy to loan it to you guys for the school year. See how it goes. See if it works for you. If it doesn't work for you, that's fine. There's no bad feelings. She goes, but it may be what God calls you to do. And it was weird because for the first time, I thought, well, maybe she's right. Maybe God is calling to me to this, which was just odd because it had just been months ago.
Yeah.
I mean, well, a little more than that, probably 6 months prior to that, that I was like, you guys are a bunch of crazy fanatics, you know?
Yeah.
And here I am. God's leading me to a place where I love my children so much and I can't stand to see them in a situation where they're having nightmares over going to school. That's crazy.
Well, and that really was the launch of our 22-year journey with homeschooling our children. I mean, we did homeschool all five of them. One of our sons, we just did middle school and high school with because he needed to go to a special education for a while. But really, in a lot of ways, homeschooling then is really a lot different than homeschooling now. Really, the modern homeschool movement started in the 70s, but honestly, it was considered illegal. Mm. I mean, people got in trouble for not sending their kids to school. And eventually, in the 80s, Christian leaders from Focus on the Family and other Christian ministries and family groups and so on began saying, this is a viable alternative. And the Homeschool Legal Defense Fund Association was started in 1983.
I think there became a recognition that there were things being taught in the public school system that were oppositional to the Christian walk. I know when you and I were going to school, I started my day out with a Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah.
Every day started out with that. And now, you know, people almost feel like that's offensive. We shouldn't do that. And yet we live in the United States of America, you know, and I think there just began to be a recognition that, I'm not going to say this, not everybody. I know that there are some awesome Christian teachers that are serving the Lord in the public school system.
Absolutely.
And I'll tell you what, I salute you because there aren't enough Christian influences in the public school system. But unfortunately, I think there are some honestly very demonic influences that are in the public school system that have just damaged kids. It's damaged them.
Yeah. Well, and I know one of the biggest concerns, and it was a concern that my parents addressed with us when we first started homeschooling. My mom and dad wrote us a letter basically saying, you know, we love you guys, but you're making a big mistake here.
And that just broke my heart because I had always had so much respect for your mom and dad, you know, and it was just like anything, you want your parents to be proud of you. I wanted my in-laws to be proud of us. And they were very concerned.
Well, because the big concern back in those days was, well, your kids won't be socialized. If they're not in school with other kids, how are they going to learn to be socialized? Well, I have to be very honest with everybody. That is a lie.
It can be a lie. As parents, if you don't make the effort to make sure that they are involved.
Yes. Like I said, back in the 90s and the early 2000s when we did this, yes, we had a local homeschool group, but it was just a group of parents who were homeschooling their kids at home. And fortunately, there were different things that cropped up along the years where there are certain classes as parents we're not as versed in, or we don't know how to teach our kids certain things. You know, in other words, our education only goes so far. And we found organizations that held classes that our kids, I remember our kids going for, I think it was algebra and math.
Engine building. Yes. We had a son who wanted to learn how to break down an engine and rebuild it. Well, we had no idea how to do that. Yeah, that wasn't that in my scope of
No, that's not training. In mine at all.
And so he attended a classes mm-hmm. that taught him how to do that.
And nowadays, there's co-op groups where parents teach different subjects. Our homeschool group has a thing called HomeLink, and they do classes on 2 days a week where kids can come and learn different things. So it's evolved a whole lot.
Yeah.
But I will be honest with you. To this day, all five of our kids have mentioned at different points in times when they've told someone, well, I was homeschooled. The reoccurring comment is, well, you don't look like a homeschooler.
I don't know what the home... I don't know. I mean, I guess I know what the homeschool look is, I suppose. I mean, they were very social kids. And I have to be honest with you. When the phone rang, and when I talk about a phone, I'm talking about the one that hangs on the wall, not the one that we carry around anymore. This is the old time sit on the wall with a cord type thing. But when that phone would ring, it was very rarely for me. Yeah. It was usually for one of them. So they had a lot of friends.
Yes. And our kids, like I said, we homeschooled all five of our children. Some of them went on to college.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them did not.
We had one son that decided the military was what he wanted to do. He wanted to serve in the military.
Yep. And then when he got out of the military, then he went to college. I mean, they've all done different variations of things. But proudly, I can say all five of my kids are successful in their careers.
Yeah.
They've been promoted. They've risen up the ranks in the different careers that they're in. And I know we did the right thing.
I'm proud of them. I'm proud of each one of them for what they've accomplished. I don't look at myself and say, oh, I was just such an awesome homeschool teacher.
No.
Believe me, there were times during those 22 years of homeschooling, I wanted to check out. Like, I was ready to take a vacation for 10 years. Like, I was finished. It's not always easy. Sometimes it's really a struggle and it's a challenge. But I just found God gives you the strength.
Mm-hmm.
And when there's times that you have to back off a little bit and take a break, I backed off and took a break. Sometimes I recognized the kids needed to take a break. I found myself just following what God wanted us to do. And if the stress level became too high, we knew we needed to break away for a while.
Yeah. Well, because I do remember there was a lot of times where we would look at the kids and say, you know, these are the subjects that you're moving up to. You have two or three that you can choose. What do you want to do?
Right.
And that made it fun for them, is being able to study things or do different things. Some of them chose foreign languages, others chose filmmaking, all kinds of stuff like that. And so, but the bottom line of it is, and if I'm going to draw this all to a close, I would really look at Proverbs 22:6, and I love how it's written in the Message Bible. It says, point your kids in the right direction, and when they're old, they won't be lost.
Yeah. It doesn't say the schools are supposed to do that.
Yeah.
It says us parents are supposed to do that in whatever way that is.
Yes.
Whether that is homeschooling.
Yeah.
Whether that is putting your children in a Christian school or whether it's putting your children in a public school. You have a responsibility to train your children.
Very true. And it's one of those things, we as parents are responsible for these kids. God gives us these children and we are commanded to raise them correctly and make sure they're doing the right things. And sometimes that means looking at them and telling them no. Sometimes that means not being their best friend sometimes, you know, and making them do things they don't want to do. But it also means encouraging them in the things that they do want to do. I remember specifically, we both of our daughters had dreams of doing something. I think one of them wanted to be a singer at one time. The other one wanted to go into theater. And our thing to them was, you can do anything you put your mind to. If this is what God's calling you to do, God will open the door. But have a plan B. Have something to fall back on, because look at how many people are out here trying to do this and aren't succeeding. You need a backup plan.
Yeah.
And a lot of that came from my mom looking at me earlier, because I remember saying I wanted to write comic books. And my mother was like, that is the stupidest thing I have ever heard of. And really now what I wish she would have done was said, hey, look into journalism. Take classes in writing. I'm not saying you can't do that, but maybe fall into doing a newspaper reporter is a different thing. And now here I am, I'm writing a book and I'm doing things like that. So the bottom line of it is our responsibility as parents. And as you, the listener, if you have children, you need to know that it is your responsibility to raise them up in the way of the Lord.
Yeah. And I mean, to go back to a point that you made, and I know what you meant when you said it, but I want to clarify it. And that is, our job is not to be our children's friends.
Yeah.
You know, our job is to be their parents. Yeah. And to be their guides and to help them. And what's very interesting is once they become adults, that relationship that you had as a parent transitions into a friendship.
Yeah.
And I look at my kids now and I see them as my friends. They still respond to us as their parents, but it's different now.
Yeah.
It's different. And so that's just our journey. That's where we've been.
Hopefully we've helped you to think about things. My encouragement to you is pray about it. Ask God what He wants you to do. Because if God's leading you to homeschool, then He's going to give you the ability to homeschool.
Yeah.
God's not going to call you to something and then not be there to support you.
God's faithful.
Absolutely. Well, that's all for this week. Jamie and I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. To learn more about us and our ministry, please visit us at www.holeintheroof.co. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram. Lastly, if you are in need of prayer, we would be honored to pray for you. To reach out to us for any reason or to send us your prayer request, email us at holeintheroofministries@gmail.com. See you all next time as we invite you into our living room and discuss how awesome God is.